So Matthew 1, we'll start in verse 18. It was December 1903 that after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. They were thrilled, so they telegraphed this message back to their sister Catherine, and it said, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried with the telegraph and telegram and went to the editor of the newspaper and handed it to the editor, and he glanced at it and he said, "How nice. Your brothers will be home for Christmas." And he missed the biggest news ever. You know what? I think Christmas is that way. Sometimes we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of buying gifts, of making sure we have the right food and the right guest list and so forth and so on, that we forget the biggest news of all. A Savior was born unto you. So let's look at it here. Matthew 1, verse 18. Every year we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. So let's consider these events today. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." So the birth of Jesus Christ was in this manner. First of all, the word Christ is a Greek word that means anointed one. The Hebrew version of that is Messiah. So it's referring to the promised one that the Jewish people had been longing for, had been waiting for. And in fact, in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to those who are bound." So we find in Isaiah 61, which is a reference to the coming Messiah, so the Spirit of God would be upon him. So this is a supernatural event, and we see that from the birth and how the birth took place through his life. It was a supernatural event, him being the anointed one. That is, he was consecrated for a specific purpose, and according to Isaiah 61, verse 1, he was set apart to bring good news, to help you and I see that there is hope. Also to bind up the brokenhearted, those who have been wounded and are in pain, to bind that up and to help them. To proclaim liberty to the captives. If you have been in some captivity or some bondage to sin, then he is here to help you gain liberty out of that sin. And then opening the prisons to those who are bound. To those who are locked up in chains, he's got the key and the ability to set you free. That ought to be good news. I'm excited about it. We have a Savior, and that's what the Savior is going to do. This verse identifies Jesus as the Christ. And so here's what happened is when his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, betrothed is a formal engagement. It is within a Jewish culture, and it can only be broken by a divorce. And so they had all the legal rights of a married couple except sexual contact. That's the only thing that they were forbidden to do. Usually lasted about 1 year, and then they had a formal marriage, and then they had all the marriage rights. Joseph was the husband to be, and before they had come together, as it says here, before he had known her intimately or sexually, she was found to be with child, so she was pregnant. I don't know about you, but that could lead to many problems. It could lead to gossip. It could lead to all kinds of stuff. But it says here that she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So it is a supernatural event that was happening. And I know it's difficult for us to understand sometimes, But here's what happened in Luke. The kids already read it. I'm going to read it to you again. Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So that's the story. It is a supernatural event that God overshadowed Mary, placing the Son of God, Jesus, who we know, inside of Mary. And so this is the event. Back in Matthew 1, verse 19, says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." I want you to know, verse 19 is probably the strongest evidence that Joseph was not the father. Because if Joseph had any thought that he was the father, why would he go through the shame of wanting to divorce her? And so it is obvious that he knows he's not the father. And so Joseph was just. He was unwilling to put her to shame. He wanted to divorce her, but he wanted to do so quietly. And according to Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 23 and 24, he had that right. And it says this: "If there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife, so you shall purge the evil from your midst." So therefore, if there is a betrothed, notice that she was already declared to be married, even though she hadn't had relations with her husband. If she stepped outside of that husband, then it was the death sentence. And so it's evident that Joseph, he could have had her escorted outside the city and they would have stoned her. But he was just, he was unwilling to shame her, he knew it wasn't his, and so he didn't want to do that. Many believed that Joseph was the father. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, that pops up in several places. Right here in Matthew chapter 13, you find verse 54, you find this very thing. It says, "Coming to his hometown," that's Jesus, "he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished, and then said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not his sisters with us?'" So they declared him, and they knew who he was, or they thought they knew. They said, "Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. So Jesus knew who he was and where he came from. Everybody else assumed that Joseph and Mary had got together and then lied their way out of it. That's not the case. But that haunted him over and over, and it kept coming up. So more importantly is when you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, this is eye-opening to me when I realized it. Verse 39 says, after the angel spoke to Mary, in those days Mary arose and went in haste into the hill country to the town of Judah. So when Mary found out Elizabeth was pregnant, she immediately left. She is in dialogue with the angel. She says, let it be done to me. And she left to go be with Elizabeth, who was her cousin. And then when you drop down to verse 59, it says, or 56, I mean, it says this. Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. So Mary left after her encounter with the angel to go be with Elizabeth, was gone for 3 months. When she returns, of course, she is showing by then, and it is obvious to Joseph that something is not right. He knew he wasn't the father. He knew that she had been, in his eyes, she had been unfaithful. That's why Joseph wanted to divorce her, but he was going to do it quietly because he didn't want to bring shame upon her. So, as he considered this, look, verse 20 says, he considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So as he's trying to consider these things and he's pondering and he's trying to make the correct decision what to do, you've probably been in those situations where you have to make some sort of a decision, and it is at that point a life-changing, a life-altering decision. So you are wanting to make the correct decision, and you're struggling. That's where Joseph is at. And the angel appears to him in a dream, telling him and directing him that it's okay to take this woman. So, son, Joseph, son of David, he said. And yes, Joseph is in the lineage of King David as well. He says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. God, through the angel, was comforting him and putting him on the right track, giving him wisdom of making the correct decision. So you and I can count on the same thing. When we're struggling with a decision, we can rely on God to direct us in the right path and to console us in our fears and our anxiety, because in reality, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does, so he knows exactly how to direct us. He says, for that which she has conceived is from the Holy Spirit. So in other words, Joseph was given the information he didn't have, that you and I have already read in Luke 1, 26 through 38, is that the Holy Spirit is the one that overshadowed her and placed the Son of God in her. And so Joseph did not know all that. Now he's got all the information and he's able to make a correct decision based on what the Lord is telling him and leading him to do. So what's he going to do? Verse 21 says, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So she, being Mary, is going to have a son, a boy, and Joseph is supposed to name him Jesus, which means Savior. So what is his purpose? This is important. The purpose is he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus came in order to be the Savior of the world and offer us a way, a means of salvation. Because of our sin, then we are in, it has created a barrier, it has created a wall, a separation between us and God, and the only way to fix that separation is provided here on Christmas, this Christmas, Jesus being born, a baby coming into the world. And it wasn't just that him coming into the world, but he lived his life in perfection. He went to the cross and he died, not because he was a sinner. He was sinless, but he died for your sin and my sin. And so those who place their faith in Jesus, then they had the means of being forgiven. Says he will save his people from their sins. And that's what we see happen to him. So as you keep looking, it says in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. This, if you had time to study it, this will blow your mind to go and look at all the prophecies foretelling the coming of the Messiah or the Savior of the Anointed One, and then compare them to Jesus. Because all of those prophecies that foretold his coming happened exactly as the Bible foretold, as the prophets foretold about Jesus. And so God foretold these events long before they ever happened. He laid it out for us so it would be plain. He did not want us to miss the fact that he was providing a Savior to save you from your sins. So it says in verse 23, which is also Isaiah 7, verse 14, same verse, it says this, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him, his name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Isaiah prophesied, he said, a virgin, I'm sure nobody knew what was going on, but it was foretelling the coming of Jesus. Behold, a virgin, which we now know is Mary, who was the virgin, shall conceive. She will become pregnant, not because of anything she did wrong, but because God chose to use her in this. And she will bear a son, and we already know that Joseph was to name him Jesus, which meant Savior, but he had another name as well, and that name was Emmanuel. And I want you to know that's a powerful message just in that name, and what the prophet said, in the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God took it upon himself to provide a way, a means of salvation, and he left his home in heaven, and he put on flesh, and he came and he walked among us and he lived the perfect life and he went to the cross and he died willingly for you and for me so that we could be forgiven and we would have a means of forgiveness. And the Bible describes all of this. In John 1:1 and following, it says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So the Word was in the beginning. It created all things. When you look down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So verse 14 identifies the Word as Jesus, but the Word was God, and he put on flesh. And so you and I can recognize God by looking at Jesus. And when we see how Jesus reacted and how he lived his life, and the character of who he was, we see God. We see God the Father. And so it points it out clearly that John says he was the God-man. So he was all God, but he was also all man. And he came in order to save us. Probably the most powerful set of verses in the New Testament, in my opinion, is Philippians 2, verses 5 and following. This is identified in Greek as the kenosis, the emptying of self. And it says this, Philippians 2, 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So that gives us a picture that God the Son, who was in eternity with God the Father, I know it's going to boggle your mind when you try to figure it out, but it says he did not consider equality with the Father as something to be grasped. He left and he became a man. He became human. He put on flesh and he walked among us. So if he was the God-man, who is able to kill God? Nobody. That's the point. Nobody was able to kill God. Nobody. Herod wasn't able to do it. Those Jews weren't able to do it. The Romans weren't able to do it. So God willingly gave up his life for you. Nobody's able to take his life. He didn't cease being God. He wasn't a created being somewhere along the way. He's always been the Son of God in eternity past. He will always be the Son of God, even in eternity future. So he's always the Son of God. And he came and he gave up his life because that was the only way that you and I could have a means, a way of being saved, a way of being forgiven. So this God-man went to the cross to save you from your sins. Back in Matthew 1, verse 24 says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife." So immediately as he woke, he knew God had spoken to him, and he got up and he took Mary to be his wife. Didn't have to delay. He took her to be his wife. But very importantly, verse 25 says, "But knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So he went ahead and took her as his wife because that was the right thing to do, but he didn't have relations with her. He restrained himself from sexual contact until after Jesus was born, which was the legal thing to do according to the Old Testament. So in other words, she was a virgin when she conceived, and she was a virgin when she gave birth. And that's what the scriptures say. And it happened just as the scripture says. So I'm here to tell you, Jesus came to provide a way of salvation for you. I found this from Bethany Farms. I thought it was interesting. Maybe it will speak to you. "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker, with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him. in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It is not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he arose without a sound, while all the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find the Bible was true after all. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us consider Jesus as our Savior, the only means given for us to be forgiven of our sins. Those who don't know him, I pray that you would draw them to Jesus, that they could give their life, that they could surrender and be saved. We give you praise. We love you. We thank you for Christmas as we celebrate the birth of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.